B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Guitar legend Steve Lukather is up first on Talkin' Rock. His new record's called I Found the Sun Again, drops on February 26th. He gave us a little sneak peek and a preview of it.
My album is a little weirder and heavier and more jam-oriented, a lot more live playing, you know.
He talks about a couple of cover songs he does on the record, as well as Toto and the lawsuits they got tied up in for several years, as well as Eddie Van Halen, specifically his son Wolfgang Van Halen, and the recent song he released.
I'm really proud of him, man, and it went number one. Look at him, man. I'm so great for him, man. I'm so proud of him. I'm sure his old man smiles down from heaven.
Then it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member Nancy Wilson. We talk about her new solo album that's coming out in 2021, as well as the Museum of Pop Culture thing that's coming up in December with Alice in Chains. And how about Eddie Van Halen? How well did she know him?
I knew him pretty well. I gave him his first acoustic guitar, actually.
We talk about that short period of time in her life when she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and did the Kennedy Center Honors. Yeah, singing in front of Led Zeppelin is no big deal. How about Chris Cornell? What did he think of them?
I saw that he was a super fan, and probably the reason I thought that he was kind of moody was that he was nervous.
It's Steve Lukather and Nancy Wilson today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
A big thank you, as always, for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Hopefully you guys find this podcast interesting. Hopefully it gives you a bunch of content and you discover things about some of your favorite bands that you've never discovered before. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you so much for giving it a shot. Two interviews today with two just legends in the music business. One of them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and one who recently said that he don't think they'll ever get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Kind of primarily because Jan Wiener, who kind of runs the whole thing, just hates Toto. So we'll talk with Steve Lukather coming up here in just a second. Both artists I've never interviewed before, I've never met before. I found both of them to be great to talk with, especially Nancy Wilson. She's coming up second here, but so unassuming. I mean, she was in Heart, for God's sake. She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with that band. And just so unassuming, a great conversation with her. I could have talked to her for a lot longer. But, you know, you get these time limits and you take what you can get and move on. Hey, by the way, if you like this podcast, 5-star ratings on Apple and iTunes and share with your friends, leave comments, the whole thing. I do appreciate that. But let's get into Steve Lukather first. His new record is called I Found the Sun Again, and it comes out February 26th. He's got a live stream coming up this Saturday, which we talk about. Greg Bissonette's on drums when this record. I mean, how much better does it get than that, right? He does a cover of a Joe Walsh song, and Robin Trower's Bridge of Sighs as well, which we get into a little bit. And of course, Weezer covered Africa and really pushed those guys back in the spotlight a couple of years ago. I got kind of a funny story about that. Steve Lukather is up first today on Talkin' Rock. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening?
I thought you were just describing my wife. I didn't realize that was your name.
No, it's just me, man. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be talking to Nancy Wilson later on today, so I'm going to ask you.
Would you please tell her, send her my very, very best? I just think the world of her. I love Heart, and we just got to do something fun about a year ago. It was a guitar thing for the veterans, and with Billy Gibbons and Warren Haynes, myself and Nancy. And Nancy's always... Nancy and Ann are great. I've always been big fans of theirs, and please give her a deep respect and hellos from me.
I will.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about your new record, I Found the Sun Again, coming out February 26th. Now, I obviously haven't heard the record. I've heard the track that's out there right now, but it's the title of the record. What? Explain the title of the album.
I met a girl. You know, after being alone for 10 years, you know, matter of fact, Nancy was at the very event that I met this girl. We've been living together for almost a year. That's the irony. I met her at that gig that we did.
Okay.
So tell her thank you. Thanks to me even knowing her, she found me love. So I owe her one.
So you got a couple of covers on this record. Did you talk to
any
of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, I did some fun. This is a vanity kind of a thing, you know. The thing that came out in the summertime with Ringo was a gift to Ringo for his 80th birthday, so we kind of wrote it with him for him. Joseph Williams, David Page, and myself from Toto wrote this song, and he loved the song. He said, I want to play on it. So it came out so good. It's just a happy song for unhappy times. We put it out there. They, 500,000 views already. You know, and so you know, my album is a little weirder and heavier and more jam oriented, a lot more live playing. You know, but it fits in there too. It's, I mean, it's got songs, but you know, that's not necessarily what my whole album's all about. So my album's a little weirder and more. Even the covers are all live and have some really wonderful solos and playing that harkens back to an era where you hear fade outs that like. They're jamming on the fade-out because everybody is playing live.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't program that stuff. That's why you don't hear great fades anymore. Because nobody, you can't program that, the jam shit stuff that, you know, doesn't seem to exist on records anymore. So I let the long fades go. It's not like the whole world is waiting for my new single with Cardi B and Justin Bieber. You know?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, so you just talked about...
You play to your audience. You know, I got a cool audience that listens... do eclectic things and likes it when I do weird stuff, and that's the point of doing these records anyway. Toto as an entity recording-wise, I don't know if that's going to be able to legally happen again, but certainly live-wise, I mean, David Page and I fought a pretty brutal battle to get our percentage of the name back that was never dealt with when we first got together in 1977, as it turns out. But you know, so we got sued for that, and so all these legal fees and all this payouts, it costs us a fortune. It's like David's going, use the name. You're there. Joe's there. We've had this problem, you know, with, you know, the Toto is more than just one guy. I mean, look at all these other bands. You got Foreigner. Journey's got a new rhythm section. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, you get bands that are like 40, 45 years old. Some cats are not going to be here anymore. They're going to pass away. They're going to retire. They just can't do it anymore. They can't medically tour. They just don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and there was some behind the scenes stuff that got pretty brutal, and I just couldn't hang, man. I was in the middle of this trying to manage stuff and blame for things I didn't do, and it's like a marriage gone terribly wrong after 45 years. It was heartbreaking, but half of us stayed on one side and half of us didn't. So God bless everybody. I got no bad, I'm not going to say bad things about anybody. I'm just terribly hurt that the way it all went down. I mean, I think we all are. So, but I'm, you know, I paid for the freaking name. I'm going to use it. I want to get my money back. I'm not starting over again at 63. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you there. You know, I got a quick story to pass along. Last summer, I was going back home to Buffalo to see some friends, and I had to race home to get home before the bar closed because I grew up in a small town. And sometimes, if it's dead at like, you know, 11 or 12 o'clock, they'll close everything
right
up. So I get home. It's about 11:30. There's about 15 people in the bar. I'm 20 years older than the oldest person in the bar. And as sitting at the bar having one drink, I heard Africa twice.
It's always got, it has legs of its own, man.
Yeah, well, Weezer redoes it.
It's a blessing and a curse, you know. It's a blessing to get one, but you got to play it forever.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, we're more than just the Africa band, but if it gets your butt in the seat, man, to be interested in what we're doing. That's why I wanted to do this little live stream thing to show off the new band playing Toto stuff so that they would know the band is killing it. It's still, well, no, these guys are killing it. I'm going to see that, you know. So this is like a little teaser for that.
Yeah, and that live stream happens this coming Saturday.
So Saturday night.
Yeah, with all sorts of special guests. Yeah, no doubt.
It'll be fun, man. You know, check it out. You can go to our website, or you can Google where it's all at, where you can hook up, because it's being played at different places all over the world at the same time. So,
now I just want to ask you a couple more things here as we close down, because I'm running out of time. But first of all,
cool.
have you heard Wolfgang Van Halen's new song?
I have. It's great. I wrote him a note saying, "Wow, congratulations, man. You know, Ed would been so proud. Ed and I were dear friends, man. You know, 40 some odd years." I'm really proud of him, man, and it went number one. Look at him, man. It's so great for him, man. I'm so proud of him. I'm sure his old man smiles down from heaven because I know how much he loved his son.
Yeah. What's a riff that Eddie wrote that you wish you would have wrote?
I don't know, man. He wrote an awful lot of great riffs, man. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to pick one, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Mean Streets always comes to mind, but that's everybody loves that one. But, I mean, I love anything he did, I loved. I mean, we've known each other since the 70s, you know. I mean, I adore them. You know, this one really hurt bad. Yeah. You know? So I'm in touch with Alex a lot, you know, and, you know, you know, I sent Wolf my congratulations, also my condolences, of course, when it first went down. But he's inundated. He's out busy doing exactly what he should. Thank God he's busy. We're out doing, promoting something that's being embraced, you know. I was surprised. I wasn't really quite sure what to think, what it was going to be like. And I was really knocked out by it. It was really melodic. And I mean, what killed me was how great his voice is.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, did you see the video?
I loved the fact he did a badass little quick solo, but it was all, he was double picking everything like that, you know, except it was a very simple line. He's a very talented kid, man. I'm not worried about his career.
I hear you there. Well, Steve, good luck with everything here. I Found the Sun again coming up February 26th. You got, of course, the live stream like you were just talking about. And yeah. Maybe we can get rid of 2020 here and get 2021 moving and get back on the stage and all that kind of stuff.
Just kind of like an old McNugget that's been stuck to your colon since 1972. Let's get this year out of the way.
I haven't heard it put quite like that, but I guess that does make sense. So,
well, if you know me at all, you understand that this is the normal way I talk. They didn't warn you, man? 43 years, 44 years of doing this. I never give a regular answer.
Of course not.
All right, listen, brother, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Appreciate the support. Come on out on the 21st and check out the new Toto Dogs of Oz tour. See some of these old songs playing new ways and in different intensity, a couple different guys. Anyway, me and Joel will see you there. Thank you for having us.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much, man. Good luck. Appreciate
Bye.
The time. See you, man.
Great.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Like I said in the intro a little while ago, I've never had a chance to interview Nancy Wilson before, or her sister, Ann, for that matter, but I was really looking forward to it. I talk about this sometimes, but ever since getting back into vinyl, Heart is just another one of those bands where I'm kind of rediscovering. I think I got about four or five of their albums right now. I just put them on, walk away, great stuff, and I really like it. So I was really excited to get a chance to talk with Nancy. Her new record is going to be dropping early 2021, just like Steve, who we just talked with. But we talk about that, of course, a lot of stuff with Seattle and the Hall of Fame. You know, she gets a vote, by the way. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you do vote on nominees that are coming in. So we talk a little bit about that as well. But it's Nancy Wilson today on Talkin' Rock as she called in right on time, and we were off and running.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Hello there.
Hey, is this Nancy?
Hey. This is Nancy, yep.
Man, so nice to hear your voice. We're going through all these technical computer issues here at the radio station, so I'm running around trying to get that taken care of. But it's good to hear you anyways. I'll calm down now. So.
I hate all that tech stuff that when it kind of goes awry.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, yeah, join the club. So, but anyways, thanks for the time. I talked to Steve Lukather a little while ago. He wanted me to send you his best.
Oh, nice. That's great. Yeah, we've played a few times, kind of recently, actually. We played a few different benefits and things together.
Yeah, he said that. And he said, I asked him about the title of his new album, which is called I Found the Sun Again. And I wanted to know if that had anything to do with, you know, what that title actually meant. He said he met a girl at one of the gigs you guys were playing with Billy Gibbons and whatnot, and I guess he wanted me to thank you for that as well, for whatever you did, and I guess that's kind of been the sun he's found again.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, I wonder which girl that was.
Yeah, so anyways, there you go. Well, let's talk about you and your solo album. That's coming out in March. Do you have a title for yours?
My title is You and Me. That's a song on the album called You and Me, and it's it just turned out really great. It's a song my longtime collaborator friend Sue Ennis and me wrote together. We kind of blended two different songs that we had written about our moms, actually, and we made a new song out of it called You and Me, and it's just so simple. I just thought, okay, well, that's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah. Now I'm not a songwriter, obviously. I'm just a dimwit DJ. But, you know, there's a song like the guys from Stone Sour did a song called Song 3, and they actually took three songs and put them together. So is that kind of commonplace that you take bits and pieces from different songs and, to make one?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it can happen every which way. You know, sometimes you just, it kind of lands in your lap in one fell swoop. And sometimes it's like, I've been playing around with this little, tinkering with this one little jam idea for a couple of years, and then it finally finds its fruition, you know. But, or here's some words, or here's a title idea. And so it just kind of comes from everywhere.
Yeah, I think James Hetfield once told me he puts all like the old riffs and stuff in like the junk heap for maybe later on, and then he kind of, you know, puts bits and pieces together and he saves them. So do you kind of do that kind of stuff too? Then you save like riffs and whatnot?
Oh, definitely. I do that a lot. I mean, sometimes I'll like wake up in the morning and go like, I have to sing this melody into my phone. You know? So you have like little recordings of various little bits, scraps of things, you know, and eventually a lot of them get used. You just kind of collect as you go.
Yeah, I bet you have a lot of them from over the years, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have bins of cassette tapes of different things from the 80s and the 70s and, you know, little songwriting sessions and demos, and, you know, and those are kind of precious to me. I have one really good boombox left over that I can actually play this stuff on. But, yeah, it's really interesting to go back and look at all the various, you know, stages of songs as they came along.
Now, is there any special guests or anything you can tell us about the record that you maybe haven't said yet?
Oh, well, I've got one song that I wrote with Duff McKagan and Taylor Hawkins. Mm. They had a jam that they shared with me, and I finished it, and it's called Party at the Angel Ballroom. And another song, actually, I covered The Boxer, which I did with Hart last year. With Sammy Hagar.
Really?
Guesting on that. Yeah. He's a buddy. And he sounds really good on that. I have this other big rocker. I said, do you want to sing on this big rocker? And he's like, oh, it's kind of too, you know, it's kind of expected. It would be a little less interesting, you know. So yeah. I go, okay, well, what about The Boxer? And he's like, I love that song. I've loved that song forever. And so he's singing on the la la la, you know.
Uh-huh.
He sounds really good on it.
Yeah, Sammy's so great.
Yeah, he's great. He's a good person, for sure, too. One of the best.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of Sammy, I wasn't going to ask you about this, but how well did you know Eddie Van Halen?
I knew him pretty well. I gave him his first acoustic guitar, actually.
That's right. I think I heard that story. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I told that story recently a few times because, you know, when he left us, it was so sad. It was such a loss. And then seeing a lot of footage of him from the day, you know, what a genius inventor of a guitar player he was. And, yeah, I gave him his first acoustic, and he stayed up all night with it and called my hotel room. You know, the analog phone in the hotel rooms back then. And, yeah, he played me the song on the phone as I was just barely waking up, you know, and it was one of the prettiest, greatest things I've heard. And I'll bet you somewhere there's a recording of it. He couldn't have just, like, he had to record it somewhere, so someday maybe I'll hear it again.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. I mean, yeah, and for people that don't know, Eddie, up until you gave that to him, didn't have an acoustic guitar.
That's what he said. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Like, you can't not have one, you know.
And for people that don't know, yeah. You're kind of also responsible for Pearl Jam, didn't you? You helped them along the way in the beginning, too. They were looking for a few bucks or something, right?
Yeah, we lent them some money. They lost their lead singer to an overdose, their original lead singer.
And Mother Love Bone.
Andrew Woods, yeah. Mother Love Bone. And before they found Eddie, you know, they lost their record contract and the tour that they were going to do. And, you know, so they said, could we just hit you up for a couple of months, you know, money to live on?
And we said, sure thing. You know, we can set you up, and then, you know, just call it an IOU. And then, of course, they did really great things as a band,
mm-hmm.
as Pearl Jam.
Yeah, it's an understatement.
They paid us back.
Oh, they did pay you back. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, that whole Seattle sound, of course, I was just getting into radio in the early 1990s when that whole thing started. And, you know, even in a couple weeks here, you're going to be doing this Alice in Chains Museum of Pop Culture thing. That's a virtual thing. Where are you and your sister playing together, or what's going to be happening there?
Oh, I did a thing with my players that are largely from Heart.
Okay.
That we've been working on my solo album remotely. And I'm not sure what she did. I think she was in Seattle recently, and she did one of the songs, probably Rooster, I'm imagining, with the same guys.
Okay.
But she went to Seattle, and they, you know, they did the protocol in a studio, and they recorded an Alice song there. So I did Brother with them, and I got my singer, Liz Warfield, from my other band, Roadcase Royale, involved, and she's also going to sing on my solo album too. So it's just this kind of, you know, roving band of gypsy players that we like to all play together and get together and do stuff for each other.
Yeah, and so I tell people this sometimes. I was fortunate enough to see the last Soundgarden show, and of course that happened here in Detroit. And you know, Chris Cornell inducted you guys into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And what I wanted to ask you about was, I was watching that video the other day. How nervous were you when he was up there on stage, knowing that, you know, you guys were going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I was pretty nervous. You know, that's a big deal. And you know, he did such a great induction. I all these years that I'd been around him, various situations, parties and stuff in Seattle, you know, he always seemed a little lofty, aloof or something to me. And when we were at the Hall of Fame thing, and we started really hanging out more, I saw that he was a super fan. And the probably the reason I thought that he was kind of snooty was that he was nervous around us. And it was really an interesting, you know, realization, because he was so humble and just so appreciative of, you know, what we had done in music and what we'd done for Seattle and a lot of the players in Seattle too. So, yeah. And when he did the induction, it was so extremely good. I mean, he worked hard on writing that. It was so well written and well delivered, and just completely the, you know, the crown on the evening for me.
Yeah, and that was the same week. You did the Kennedy Honors that same week, is that right?
Was it the same week?
Or was it? It was around the same.
Kennedy Center.
Yeah, the Kennedy
Center. Kind of around the same time.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that must have been an overload there, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, no pressure. It's just like, you know, play Stairway to Heaven in front of Led Zeppelin and the President and a bunch of dignitaries. And
yeah. You guys stole the show that night.
That was a really cool night. We didn't even see how it came off until we saw the show later when it was edited together, and we hadn't seen how Zeppelin was reacting or anything like that. So it was really special, yeah, to see it come together, the show itself.
Yeah, what was more nerve-wracking, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing or the Kennedy Honors thing?
Definitely they were both pretty nerve-wracking. But the Hall of Fame, maybe more, because we were kind of put together with the original lineup of the band, you know, some of which had been our boyfriends in the past.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was some drama involved, you know, so, you know, so we were kind of like hoping there wouldn't be like daggers, you know, but there was a couple of daggers at first, and then everybody, you know, thawed out and it was fine.
Yeah, man, I couldn't even imagine. But hey, speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so you have a vote. So who do you think deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that's not there right now?
Oh, who's running again?
Well, I mean, who do you think should be in there? Like, for example, I've always, Yeah, I've always thought, like, you know, obviously I'm kind of more like a metal guy per se, but I like the Judas Priest and those kind of bands because they had such an impact on metal bands and genre and stuff like that. But who do you think should be in there that's not?
Oh, man, there's probably a lot of them. I mean, that should be in there, like Judas Priest and, like, you know, the cult stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but without knowing exactly, you know, the list of who's actually in there by heart, then I'm not sure I should venture, I guess.
Yeah, but that is so cool that you do get a vote. And I didn't realize that until just recently when I was talking to Stone Gossard, and he said, he told me that he gets a vote, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we get like a pamphlet every year and like a little, you know, a voting ballot thing, and you get to narrow it down to like one per category, and then it comes back later and you see who got in. It's fun to be a voter.
Yeah, I bet. So a couple things here for you before we wrap up, as my time is winding down, but how has the pandemic treated you? You've just been working on music and kind of trying to stay away from people, or what have you been doing?
Yeah, well, we've been going nowhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, the total protocol, because it's really necessary at this point, especially now that it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten much worse. It's like we're back in March again already. So, yeah, so it's really disappointing. But I think, you know, it's the blessing inside the curse is that I've been really able to concentrate on creativity and writing songs and playing songs and making a new album with a few covers, but mostly original stuff. So it's, you know, it's really rewarding, and it's, you know, fun for me to sort of take hold of the first studio solo album and do all the singing, you know. Not that I consider myself a premier ballerina kind of a singer like Anne, but it's really fun. I love it. You know, I love trying to be the singer and doing the harmonies and playing all the parts pretty much. And, you know, my band guys from Heart mainly are passing around files, and we're just, you know, taking notes and responding to the new parts that they put on. And it's coming together really great. It'll be out probably February, March, and with a new single coming soon.
And a final thing here for you. You mentioned covers and stuff. And I know you did the Bruce Springsteen song, The Rising. Have you heard anything from Bruce, his thoughts on that song?
I heard that from his folks that he really liked it.
Okay.
He really likes when other people do his music too, I guess. So I was definitely excited about that.
Yeah.
We're doing the Snoopy dance. He likes it. He likes it. Covering one of the one of Pearl Jam's songs, Daughter, on the album, as well as one called Boxer from Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah, so you're covering Daughter too, eh? That's cool.
Yeah. It's I did it for a movie, the South African film that's going to still come out, called I Am All Girls. I'm All Girls, and it's a human trafficking story. It's a real story. So it's a really cool movie, and it should be in that too pretty soon. As soon as you know, people can figure out how to watch it all on TV.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, real fast, I know you probably talked about this before, but what do you think about the state of rock right now with all the great female singers and the female bands?
Oh, I'm loving it. I mean, I'm kind of thinking, hey, what took you guys so long? You know, it's been. Because, like, you know, Sleater-Kinney and St. Vincent, there's just so many cool, you know, girl bands out there now. And there's more girls buying and learning guitar now than there are guys, I've been told. So that's really cool. I'm encouraged by that, because I think, you know, every culture in the world is only as good as how it treats its women and how its women can feel free to be treated equally. So, you know, it's just a really good sign. It's good for the world.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, really a privilege to talk to you, and it's so nice to talk to you, as a matter of fact. Good luck with the new record and the solo album, and maybe in 2021 you can hit the stage again.
That's what we're talking about. There's an offer, so we're looking it over.
Well, that'd be great.
Get out there.
Yeah, that'd be great to get back out there and see people and see concerts and live music again for sure. So,
well, it looks pretty promising at this point with new vaccines coming out and stuff like that. So, it's, you know, we're gonna hold out the greatest hope for that.
That's well put. So I think Mick Box from Uriah Heep told me the other day, going from lockdown to rockdown. So
I love that. I'm going to use that.
All right, Nancy. Well, thank you so much for the time. Be well, and we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
How cool is that? Nancy Wilson. I could have talked to her for another hour. There's no question about it. But I like to keep on time with these things. They gave me 15 minutes. I don't like to go too far over. You know, you don't want to get a reputation in this business for, you know, stealing other people's time or, you know, taking too much time or whatever. And Nancy was just great to talk to. So maybe I'll get another shot at it next year when she drops this record. Got to thank Steve Lukather for checking in as well. His new record, like I said, drops in February the 26th. I Found the Sun Again is the name of his new record. As he says, he found the sun again with this new girl he was started dating when he was doing that gig with Billy Gibbons and Nancy Wilson. What a small world, and how things kind of intertwine, interwoven as far as the rock and roll world is concerned. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening to Talkin' Rock. I've got some irons in the fire as far as upcoming guests, so we'll see if we can't get those on coming up here in the next couple weeks. But subscribe, and I think we'll have one more before Thanksgiving. But thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.